54 days, 8 hours, and 53 minutes until the presidential election. And of course, a big milestone. Last night, the first debate between Donald Trump and Kamala Harris. I would say Trump won 60-40. And I think that the biggest takeaway, because you kind of let it settle and then you reflect on the things you remember, Trump produced multiple clips that are actually, nothing was really profound. I don't think there was anything too profound or earth-shattering really last night. But Trump definitely had the clippable moments and the soundbite moments. And they tried to set Kamala up for some of those, and it didn't take. She had some scripted answers to try to correct course on a couple things, like fracking. But really, it was Trump that had the soundbite moments, Trump that had the clippable moments. And I think that Trump really landed the most blows. Now, quite frankly, I don't know how much the debate really makes a difference. In fact, I forgot to look this up. Guys, see if there's any news stories about the ratings for last night's debate. My guess is the ratings were down. That's my guess. I'm guessing that the Trump-Clinton debates had much better ratings. I'm guessing last night's debate had low ratings. I talked to some friends. None of them were interested. I talked to a couple people earlier this morning, just when I was working out. I talked to at the gym. They didn't hear anything about it. They didn't care. They didn't watch. So I think most people are decided or just disinterested. Wow, so the ratings were pretty good, apparently. More people tuned into this debate than the Biden debate. So that's interesting. I guess that's people wanting to find out what Kamala Harris is really all about. And I don't think that went well for her. If that's the case, if people were tuning in to see what Kamala Harris was all about, then I think that was a bad performance for her. The resting, condescending bitch face, the constant attacking on Donald Trump. Now, does she get away with the big lies that she told? Maybe. We'll address some of that since the fake moderators wouldn't do it. And then even the moderators get into the lies. So that was crazy. So do people notice that? Do people notice that it was essentially a 3-on-1 debate? I think so. But I don't really know how much it moved the needle. And as I said last night, what really is going to make the difference in this election is not the debates. And quite frankly, it's not even the political wonk and all the footballs that are going to be tossed around between now and the election. It's going to be stopping the voter fraud, clearing the voter rolls, stopping non-citizens from voting, monitoring the mail-in ballot situation and the drop boxes. We got some news on that today. So that's really what's going to make the difference. And as long as you limit if you eliminate all the voter fraud and election fraud, Trump wins in a landslide, probably like 45 states. But that's not happening. It's happened in a couple states, and now the DOJ is pushing back and the Democrats are pushing back. But that's where the real battle is. So then after the debate, Trump says, okay, apparently Kamala wants another debate because she thinks she lost, so she wants another go. I think that would kind of be the logic here. It's kind of like if you're, playing rec ball and you lose, it's like, no, one more. And then Kamala's campaign is saying she wants another debate because, oh, she did so well. Well, it doesn't matter. Fox News said, we'll do the debate in October. and it should be on Fox News. Trump went on CNN with anti-Trump moderators. Trump went on ABC with literal Democrat Party members moderating. Democrat Party donors running the show. So, yeah, they should do one on Fox News. Now, Trump did another comment on that. And last night, I'm sitting there thinking, there's no reason for Trump to do another debate except to maybe stop the theory of he's scared to debate Kamala. So you say, okay, well, I want to avoid that headline, so I'll go ahead and do another debate. So last night, I was like, there's no reason for Trump to do another debate. He won this debate, and you just don't really get anything out of it. But I've kind of changed my mind, and I think actually the second debate for Trump, now that he's actually gone up against Kamala, he can be more prepared because he didn't even do any debate prep last night. I mean, they bragged about it. They joked about it. He literally didn't do debate prep. Kamala Harris did a whole week of debate prep and did mock debates with a Trump impersonator and got the questions. Now, I don't think she had an earpiece in. Some people think it was an earpiece. I don't think it was an earpiece. I think that's been disproven. It doesn't really make a difference. But now that Trump has actually been in there, I think he would perform better in the second debate. And he can even kind of change his tactics, because she would become much more aggressive, is my guess. Now, I don't know. Maybe she decides to lay off, but I don't know what she's going to go on. And then if you're Trump, you just let her go. Kind of like you did with Biden. Kind of like you did with Biden. That ended up knocking him out. So I think there might actually, last night I didn't think there would be another debate. I think there might be another debate now. There was supposed to be one earlier this month on Fox News. The Harris team declined. So maybe now they will do a second debate on Fox News in October. You do have the vice presidential debates coming up. So here's Trump's take on it earlier today. In the world of boxing or UFC, when a fighter gets beaten or knocked out, they get up and scream, "I demand a rematch, I demand a rematch." Well, it's no different with a debate. She was beaten badly last night. Every poll has us winning. In one case, 92-8. That was a Newsmax poll. It's mostly conservative audience. So why would I do a rematch? So that's what I was thinking last night, too. There's no point for him to do a rematch, but you know they're going to have the headline saying he's scared to debate. So that might be one reason. But if it's going to be on Fox News, and Trump actually talked about this, and so maybe we should go to this clip. You set it up, and you get very favorable moderators. You get your friend Sean Hannity. You get your friend Laura Ingraham. You get Jesse Waters, no fan of Democrats. And let's put Kamala in the corner. And let's not let her get away with the lies. And let's make her have to answer to fact-checking and answer tough questions aimed at her without getting the questions in advance. So that's kind of my school of thought now. And then in that situation, Trump can just kind of sit back and just ignore her. In fact, that's what I would even do in the second debate. I anticipate there will be another. I don't know. Kamala might refuse to go on Fox News. That's the only issue. But if I'm Trump in the second debate, I would just like pretend Kamala Harris is not even there. Don't look at her. Don't respond to her. Don't even listen to her. And just only talk to the moderators. Only answer their questions. Whatever she says, don't even respond. She can attack you. She can say there's a spider on your head. Whatever. Just she's not there. You don't see her. You don't hear her. You don't respond to her. And just make her flop and flail around. That would be my strategy should it happen. But here's Trump asked about a second debate happening on Fox News. He takes a shot at some of the Fox News potential moderators, actually, in clip 26.
Mr. President, I know when we started the interview, you said that you felt that you won the debate last night, your best ever. I think before the debate happened last night, the Kamala Harris people said that they would actually like to do another debate in October. And I know that last night Fox News sent letters to your campaign and her campaign offering three dates of debates moderated by Martha and Brett. One is October 9th in Arizona.
Well, I wouldn't want to have Martha and Brett. I'd love to have somebody else other than Martha and Brett. I'd love to have, frankly, Sean or Jesse or Laura, you know, somebody else. Let's give other people a shot. But I didn't think Martha and Brett were good last night. Well, I thought Jesse was fantastic last night, what he said. Jesse really got it. Jesse said that Trump won that debate. We won that debate by a lot. Now, I wouldn't want Martha involved.
Okay, Mr. President.
But I would take some others.
So, yeah. Mr. President.
Maybe Trump still has some beef with Brett Baer calling Arizona at noon on Election Day. So, I think Trump would probably agree to it if it was on Fox News. The question would be, would Kamala Harris? Now, here's some of the stuff she gets away with last night. Let's play her denying she wants to do a gun confiscation or gun buyback. And then we'll just go to her own words. So this is last night, Kamala Harris denying she wants a gun buyback in clip 16.
Do you believe in the mandatory buyback of quote-unquote assault weapons? And whether or not you do, how does that idea not go against fundamentally the Second Amendment?
No, yeah. Hold on. That should be one of the... Do we have the debate clip? Well, I'll tell you what. Forget about it. Just roll the clips of her claiming... Because there's dozens of these clips. I pulled a couple of them. For timing's sake, I didn't want to show you 10 minutes of Kamala Harris saying ban assault weapons and let's do the gun buyback. So I don't know if we have the clip from the debate or not, but forget it. We all saw what she said. She denied she wanted to do a gun buyback. She denied she was anti-Second Amendment. She said, oh, I love guns. I have guns. We're not going to do a gun buyback. She literally said that. So here's Kamala Harris's multiple clips, just a couple of dozens where she says the exact thing here, that she does indeed support a gun buyback. So just go ahead and roll them all.
What would you do about the millions of specifically assault weapons right. that are already in circulation? What do you do about those?
Well, there are approximately 5 million, to your point, Craig. We have to have a buyback program, and I support a mandatory buyback program. It's got to be smart. We got to do it the right way.
And it is a false choice to suggest that you're either in favor of the Second Amendment or you want to take everyone's guns away. I'm in favor of the Second Amendment. And we need an assault weapons ban.
Do you believe in the mandatory buyback of quote-unquote assault weapons? And whether or not you do, how does that idea not go against fundamentally the Second Amendment?
Yeah, great question. I do believe that we need to do buybacks, and I'll tell you why. First of all, let's be clear about what assault weapons are. They have been designed to kill a lot of human beings quickly. They are weapons of war with no place on the streets of a civil society. I've seen assault weapons kill babies and police officers. So, one, I'll tell you, when elected president, if the United States Congress continues to fail to have the courage to do something about this, I'm prepared to take executive action and put in place a ban on the importation of assault weapons into our country. But we still have to deal with the over 2 million assault weapons that are currently in the streets of America. And so a buyback.
5 million earlier.
And then this business about taking everyone's guns away. Tim Walz and I are both gun owners. We're not taking anybody's guns away. So stop with the continuous lying about this stuff.
Okay.
As it relates to the Affordable Care Act.
Okay, so there you go, folks.
Understand.
So there you go. Now, again, we just had to screw up there because I sent them 100 clips. But there you go. They got the clip. That's Kamala last night. I don't support a gun buyback. Well, I played three clips of dozens, okay? Dozens. There are dozens of these clips. 2019, 2020, her as a senator, her as the vice president. She says she supports a mandatory gun buyback. Well, what happens if I don't want to sell my gun to the government then? Anybody ever asked that question of Kamala? I'm sick of you lying about me. I have a gun. I love the Second Amendment. I've never supported a gun buyback program. What was that, guys? MSNBC headline, 2020 campaign trail. Harris, I support a mandatory buyback program. Is that MSNBC on the screen? Looks like MSNBC. 2020 election campaign coverage. Kamala Harris, I support a mandatory buyback program. But oh, she says Trump's lying. He's making it up. So, oh, and it's 5 million assault weapons, then it's 2 million assault weapons. She's just lying. All she does is lie. All she does is morph to whatever she thinks is going to get her in power. So if it's, I support banning assault weapons, I support a mandatory gun buyback program, then that's what she's going to say. And whatever audience she has, she might change her accent. But then last night on the national stage in a presidential debate, all of a sudden, no, I love guns. I'm big Second Amendment. I'd never have a mandatory gun buyback program. Oh, okay. And of course, the moderators let her get away with it. So really, though, it should be an unelectable offense to say you would have a mandatory gun buyback program. It should be an unelectable offense and policy to say you would ban assault weapons. In America, you should be unelectable if those words leave your lips. But see, the problem is we have these things called Democrats. And for them, the problem is we have these things called God-given rights. And so here we are. Now, that's not all she lied about. She claimed, oh, nobody wants abortion up to birth. Nobody wants abortion in the third trimester. It just shows how the abortion thing is all astroturf, too. Because, A, the debate is so Twilight Zone now. The left says Trump bans abortion, and so we have to stop him. The far right says Trump won't ban abortion, so we won't vote for him. Okay, well, it's just not a serious debate anymore. And then Trump actually said the right thing. He should have emphasized it more. He said, look, you can keep asking me about abortion all you want. It doesn't matter. It's at the states now. So I can have a policy or an idea on abortion. It doesn't matter. It's not up to me. It's at the states. So see, it's like this mudslinging over this abortion deal, and it doesn't even, it's non-consequential to who's in the White House. And less than 1% of Americans will have an abortion. So, why is this the big thing? But I'm surprised. It just shows how it's all astroturf because last night, Kamala basically said she's against third trimester abortions. Kamala Harris comes out and says she's against third trimester abortions and crickets. Nothing. Nobody. And, of course, this all begins Donald Trump. So it's just like Donald Trump says she would have a mandatory gun confiscation program. She says, nope, I never said that. She did say it dozens of times. They bring up abortion. Donald Trump says, look, I'm not for a federal abortion ban, but it doesn't matter. It's in the states now. But these crazies, they're radicals. They want to have abortion up to birth. And Kamala says, no, we don't want that. And Trump says, oh, really? What do you want? And he says, would you do it at 9 months? Kamala says, no. He said, would you do it at 8 months? No, we wouldn't do it at 8 months. Would you do it at 7 months? No, we wouldn't do it at 7 months. Wow. So Kamala comes out against third trimester abortions. But Trump was right again. This was a Democrat bill in Colorado with the sponsor and the writer of the bill talking in front of the city council, I believe. Or it was at a state Senate hearing or something, explaining, yeah, we're going to do it up to birth. They make it very clear. Clip 14.
Delegate Tran.
Yes, sir.
How late in a pregnancy would your bill apply if a physician was simply willing to certify that the continuation of the pregnancy would impair the mental health of the woman? How late are we talking about?
So the way the suggestion that we've made in the bill is to say it's in the third trimester and at the, with the certification of the physician. So
how late in the third trimester would you be able to do that?
you know, it's very unfortunate that our physicians, witnesses, were not able to attend today to speak specifically.
No, I'm talking about your bill. How late in the third trimester could a physician perform an abortion if he indicated it would impair the mental health of the woman?
Or physical health.
Okay.
I'm
talking about the mental health.
So, I mean, through the third trimester. The third trimester goes all the way up to 40 weeks.
Okay. Up to birth. But to the end of the third trimester.
Yep. I don't think we have a limit.
Okay, so there you go. Now, this whole idea of, for the mental health, so they can just say, I don't want the baby, and they just kill it. So that's the bill. That's the Democrat bill. Here's former governor of Virginia, Ralph Northam, saying, let the baby get born, and then we decide whether we kill it or not. So we said on the radio, clip 15.
No exception. There was a very contentious committee hearing yesterday when Fairfax County Delegate Kathy Tran made her case for lifting restrictions on third trimester abortions, as well as other restrictions now in place. And she was pressed by a Republican delegate about whether her bill would permit an abortion, even as a woman is essentially dilating, ready to give birth. And she answered that it would permit an abortion at that stage of labor. Do you support her measure and explain her answer?
Yeah, and I wasn't there, Julie, and I certainly can't speak for Delegate Tran, but I will tell you, first thing I would say, this is why decisions such as this should be made by providers, physicians, and the mothers and fathers that are involved. There are, when we talk about third trimester abortions, these are done with the consent of obviously the mother, with the consent of the physicians, more than one physician, by the way. And it's done in cases where there
All
may
right,
be
we'll
severe.
Come back to this clip because there's a zinger that's worth mentioning here.
Supplements are the second fastest growing industry in America over the last few decades. AI's now outstripped it. And that's because people continue to learn how amazing the compounds are that Mother Nature gives us. Now, ladies and gentlemen, not all supplements are created equal. InfoWars MD line, more than 15 products, are all the very best you're going to find at extremely low prices. Take our CBD oil, gummies, and 1,000 milligram tincture. We private label it from a top company. They sell it retail for double what we sell it for. Does that give you an idea how amazing these products are and how low the prices are? Just get InfoWars MD CBD. Test it out, see how great it is, and then I know you're going to want the other products like our ashwagandha, like our super green food, like our 95% curcuminoid, turmeric 95. They're all available under the InfoWars MD line at InfoWarsStore.com. Thank you for your support. This keeps us on air. Plus, these are game-changing products. Get yours today.
In the early 1900s,